ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 153 of the report. And right now, we chilling out. Just America by Dude, man. Rock with your boy. Episode number 153. It's late, man. It is right now. The time of this recording is 1:47 in the morning on a Friday morning, man. Normally I would be like knocked the fuck out around this time, man. But yeah, man, it's been a long day, man. Like real talk, I've been up since about 5:30 this morning, working. Moving, still doing some moving stuff, man, and trying to get ready for this podcast, man. But it's been a lot, man. I had a lot going on today, man, which kind of explains why it's so late. I know some of you guys, man, I told you guys it would be 9:30, and then I looked up, it was like 9:30, and I'm like, well, I'm trying to have to push it back, and I pushed it back to about 10:30, and yeah, man, like I looked up, and I'm like, yo, this is not about to happen. I still got stuff to do. So, yeah, man, I know I told you guys Sunday that you guys would get a show on Thursday. You will be getting that. It's a little bit late. You didn't get it live on Thursday, but you're going to get it come Friday morning when you wake up. You're going to have this shit. I tell you that much, goddammit. Right? So, yeah, man, but before we get into everything, man, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages, and of course, I'll play those messages on the show and respond in kind. You could also hit me up on the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. leave me those emails, man. And of course, I'll read those emails and respond to you live here on the show as well, man. Give me a 5-star review. Give me a 5-star review, please. I beg of you. No, I don't beg of you. But yeah, man, hook up your boy, man. Go ahead and go to iTunes and or Stitcher. Leave a 5-star review, man. Preferably those 5-star reviews get read here live on the show. It's a way to put on for the show, man. It's a way that doesn't cost you any money, man. And it helps the show grow and it spreads the word about the Spare Report. Because if you're rocking with me over here, man, you should let somebody else know too, right? So go ahead, man, and hit that 5 stars and let people know, man, that you're rocking with us over here at the Spare Report, man. Real talk. Also, man, you can go to www.thespareandreport.com. Go there for all of your Spare Report needs, man. Go buy the t-shirts, man. Go vote in the polls. Go and donate if you feel so inclined. You can go there and donate as much as you like, as often as you like. And it's all appreciated right here at the Spare Report. Also, man, we are doing these shows live on Crowdcast. Go to crowdcast.io. It's not crowdcast.com, crowdcast.io, man. Register. So when you register for the Spare Report on Crowdcast, you get alerted when I go live. You get an email. You can participate in the chat room, man. You can ask me direct questions right here live on the show, man. And it's a whole thing, man. Right now I'm on Crowdcast, but I'm not expecting anybody to be in this chat room because, of course, it's late, man. It's 1:51 on a Friday morning, like Thursday, Friday morning. Like, yeah, man, nobody's up. People got shit to do. People got to go to work. But like I said, I'm going to give you guys a show come Thursday. So that's what we're going to do, man. That's what we're doing, man. And so, yeah, I had to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here. You know what it is, man. We 153 episodes in on this. Y'all know what it is. Real talk. But, yeah, man. Not a whole lot is going on outside of, I don't have any random thoughts or anything tonight, man. Not tonight. I kind of wanted to dive right into the meat and potatoes of what it was that has been on my mind on the, you know, over the course of the last couple days, man. And I know this is a topic that I've spoken on this topic numerous times, man. And I'm talking about the disrespect that black women have to deal with, not only in their personal lives but in their professional lives as well. And that's tonight's theme, so to speak, if you know, for lack of a better term. I have witnessed and I have seen some of the more blatant disrespect on public display concerning the sisters, and it's bothered me a little bit. You know what I mean? It's bothered me a little bit. From Sean Spicer to Rachel Dolezal to Joe Walsh to Bill O'Reilly. I'm going to speak to these issues tonight, man. And you know, like one of the things, man, as I've been doing this show, man, I've tried to use the Span Report podcast platform to not only big up the sisters, man, but to also push back on the constant negative narrative that surrounds sisters so much. Sometimes even at the coming out of the lips and the mouths of some of our brothers, right? Some of our brothers are some of the most critical people concerning black women, man. And some of our brothers are totally oblivious to their role and why black women are the way that they are. Totally oblivious to why some black women act a certain way. Totally oblivious to their contribution to those actions. It's easy to pass the buck, man. It's easy to do it. And yeah, man, so I'm going to talk about it, man. I don't want to come off like really, really heavy. But at the same time, man, this is just something that has been like, as I've been watching these things happen, these things have been on my mind. And I said, you know what, I need to speak to these things, man. And so in doing so, man, I'm going to dive right into it, man. Like I'm not, like I said, there is no random thoughts or anything this, or on this particular episode. And yeah, we're just going to get into it. So Sean Spicer. Right. Sean Spicer is the press secretary for that orange dude that they put in the White House, who's currently occupying residency in that place, right? White people's president, bigots president, white supremacist president, some of you niggas president, right? So Sean Spicer was, he was giving, you know, the daily press briefing as he is supposed to do as the press secretary. And he just, well, first, he opened up the floor for questions. And there's a reporter or a journalist by the name of, what's his sister's name? April Ryan. Now, April Ryan, some of you may know or you may have heard of April Ryan. April Ryan was the journalist who asked Donald Trump about his relationship with the Congressional Black Caucus. And Donald Trump asked her to set up a meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus. The purported president of the United States is asking a journalist to set up a meeting with him and the Congressional Black Caucus as if he doesn't occupy the office that he does. Right? So that's where you may know who April Ryan is. Now, April Ryan was also, she was asking questions, so to speak, of Sean Spicer. And basically she was asking him about the perceptions of the Trump White House and how they are to navigate how people look at this White House, considering all of the things that are going on with them, whether it be Russia, whether that be his taxes, whether that be some of the things he said about women, a lot of these different issues that have come up since Donald Trump has been put into the White House, right? And so during this exchange, Sean Spicer got a little irritated with the fact that she was asking some pretty pointed yet legitimate questions. And let me pull this up here so you guys can see this exchange for yourselves. And this video will be available not only on the, well, I shouldn't say not only. This video will be available on Facebook. So if you follow me on Facebook, I'm going to have this on the Mr. Spam fan page. You're going to be able to check out episodes of the Spam Report on Facebook. But yeah, I'm going to play this video of this exchange between April Ryan and Sean Spicer. Let me pull this up now. And I'm a little new to Crowdcast, so let me see how I can do the screen share here. There we go. All right. So that's how we do that. Let me pull this video up so you guys can see it. And I did not mean to close that window, but okay. Let me pull this up real quick. All right. So here's this exchange between Sean Spicer and April Ryan. Check this out.
Armin.
Is it April?
April, go ahead.
Okay. Sean. Don't seem so happy. you're like, go ahead. Anyway, with all of these investigations, questions of what is, how does this administration try to revamp its image? 2.5 months in, you've got the Shade story today. You've got other things going on. You've got Russia. You've got wiretapping. You've got...
No, we don't have that. You I know.
On Capitol Hill.
No, I get it, but you keep... I've said it from... the day that I got here until whatever, that there is no connection. You've got Russia. If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection. But every single person... I appreciate your agenda here. But the reality is... Oh, no, hold on. No, at some point, report the facts.
Okay. So, Sean Spicer is getting irritated with the fact that she's asking about the connections with Russia. And he says that we don't have that. Right. And she has an agenda, as if we don't know that there is currently right now investigations by the FBI and the House and Senate intelligence committees investigating the connections between the Trump campaign and Russia. So he's trying to act as if we all fucking dumb. Right. We don't know what the hell is going on, as if there aren't three different investigations going on into what's going on into this Trump White House. Right. And he's trying to berate this sister as she's asking him very legitimate questions. But it gets worse. Let's go.
facts are that every single person who has been briefed on this subject has come away with the same conclusion. Republican, Democrat, so I'm sorry that that disgusts you. You're shaking your head. I appreciate it, but understand this, that at some point the facts are what they are. And every single person who has been briefed on this situation with respect to the situation with Russia, Republican, Democrat, Obama appointee, career, have all come to the same conclusion. At some point, April, you're going to have to take no for an answer with respect to whether or not there was collusion.
Okay, so the funny part about that is she didn't say anything about collusion, right? She didn't suggest that there was collusion. She asked him about the perceptions of the White House. The perceptions that folks have of the White House, considering all of the shit that's going on with them, right? So he did all of that talking and didn't even answer the fucking question that she was asking him.
How do you change the perception of...
We're going to keep doing everything we're doing to make sure that the president's... that what the president told the American people he was going to do to fulfill those pledges and promises that he made, to bring back jobs, to grow the economy, to keep our nation safe, that's what he's been focused on since day one. We're going to keep focusing on that every single day.
Kanye Rice did not support this president. She did not go to the convention. She comes. What is on the agenda? And how is their relationship? Has it healed since 2006 when he used a very negative word to describe?
So here's what I'll tell you. It's interesting that you ask those two questions back to back. On the one hand, you're saying, what are we doing to improve our image? And then here he is once again meeting somebody that hasn't been a big supporter of his. Hold on.
Okay, so even in this particular exchange, she's asking this stupid motherfucker, she's asking him, yo, Donald Trump is meeting with Condoleezza Rice. In 2006, Donald Trump didn't really have a whole hell of a lot of really good things to say about Condoleezza Rice. He's now meeting with her. He says some really fucked up things about her. Has their relationship changed over the course of these years where he said this really fucked up thing about her? And rather than just answer the fucking question, rather than just do that, Sean Spicer goes on into this, it's interesting that you would ask these sorts of questions. It's interesting that you would ask us about perceptions and then you don't give him the benefit of the doubt when he's meeting with people who's trying to, as he's trying to bring this country together. Right? Instant fucking two, because she's asking legitimate questions about what's going on with this White House, man. But there's more.
But April, hold on. You it seems like you're hell-bent on trying to make sure that whatever image you want to tell about this White House stays, because at the end of the day, let me answer. I understand. Okay, but you know what? You're asking me a question, and I'm going to answer it, which is the president, I'm sorry, please stop shaking your head again. But at some point, the reality...
And that right there. Please stop shaking your head. Listen, dude, you are not a father. You are not a father. She can respond to you. Like, even now, she's not being disrespectful. She's not even speaking to you in the moment. And yet you feel as if you are... You have to control her reactions to the bullshit that is coming out of your mouth right now. That you have to have control over that. Come on, man. And this is something that is like that has kind of happened over the course of the last few weeks. You know, when it comes to Sean Spicer. Sean Spicer is, you know, I get it. He's trying to defend the dude who hired him. And the dude who hired him is an incompetent jackass. But be that as it may, he's trying to defend that guy. But at the end of the day, you don't have to be disrespectful in doing so, in the ways in which Sean Spicer was in this particular exchange. Not only did he not let her answer her, not only did he not answer the question that she asked, but he didn't even want to let her finish the fucking question. And then when she shook her head, because she's like, dude, you're not even answering what the fuck it is I'm asking you. Oh, don't shake your head. Nigga, fuck you. Fuck you, dude. You don't get to control that. And so it's just yet another example of this White House, this administration, of, I don't want to say playing nice, because they've never really been an administration to do that anyway. We've never gotten that impression that that's how this country was going to be run with this dickhead in office. None of that. But it's interesting, man, just to watch this unfold, considering all the other shit that's been going on this week when it comes to black women, when it comes to their interactions with some of these white men in positions of power, right? So Sean Spicer does this, right? And the interesting thing about it is this particular exchange spawned a hashtag on Twitter, Black Women at Work, where numerous hundreds and thousands of black women went to Twitter and they spoke about some of their issues dealing with people at work as a black woman, where you saw I saw a few tweets where there was one sister who said that, you know, there was a guy who asked her to go make some coffee, not knowing that she was his boss. There was another person who said that she parked in her reserved parking spot only to be told by another subordinate that she's parked in the boss's spot. She shouldn't be there. There was another tweet that I saw of a sister who said she was like 5 foot tall, 90 pounds, and she was speaking with another white colleague, and that white colleague then went back and said that she was being intimidating and she was being overbearing and that she was being aggressive in her speech while speaking to her. 5 feet, 90 pounds. Very intimidating, right? So yeah, man, like, on the surface, this is just cracking the surface of it, where a woman who is just trying to do her job is disrespected in the application of her occupation, right? Not really given the same respect of her male colleagues, especially not her male white colleagues, right? To where a person that many would deem would be worthy of respect, right? This woman is a White House correspondent. They don't give those spots away to everybody, dog. Like, you know how good you got to be at your job to get a White House correspondent spot? There's only like 60 of them available, dude. So she's very good at what she does, and yet she's subjected to this sort of disrespect. Right. And so that happened. Another thing happened over the course of these last few days, man, that I kind of wanted to speak to. And that was Maxine Waters. Now, of course, man, everybody loves Auntie Maxine Waters, right? Auntie Maxine been out here like leading the resistance, like at every turn, man. Maxine Waters like is saying the shit, like she's basically out here telling people exactly what she feels. She ain't sugarcoating a motherfucking thing. And that's what folks love about Maxine Waters, man. She's not sugarcoating shit. She's not being politically correct. She's saying exactly what the hell it is that she's thinking. And she's being very fucking candid, right? When it concerns Donald Trump and his administration and her aims for that administration, which is to impeach his ass, right? So Maxine Waters was given a speech on the Senate. I believe she was on the Senate floor, or even the Congress. I'm sorry, she's a congresswoman on the House of Representatives floor, right? And while she was giving this speech, Fox and Friends had a segment as they listened to her speech, right? Let me play this for you guys right here now.
Yeah, not to be confused with Jesse Waters. Maxine Waters.
I love her.
She says,
Why do you love her? Maxine Waters should have her own sitcom.
Absolutely.
Okay? All right? It's just, people get angry with Maxine Waters. I want more of it.
Okay, I'm so glad
Let's go.
Listen.
We have suffered discrimination. We've suffered isolation and undermining, but we stand up for America, oftentimes when others who think they're more patriotic, who say they're more patriotic, do not. When we fight against this president and we point out how dangerous he is for this society and for this country, we're fighting for the democracy. We're fighting for America. We're saying to those who say they're patriotic, but they turned a blind eye to the destruction that he's about to cause this country, you're not nearly as patriotic as we are.
So what does that mean, Bill? We've been listening all morning. We cannot.
I didn't hear a word she said. I was looking at the James Brown wig.
All right. Now, I don't know why this stupid big head, dickhead motherfucker thought that was funny, but it wasn't. But it wasn't. Now, of course, some of his Fox and Friends colleagues were like, ha ha, or whatever else. But at the end of the day, man, what he basically tries to do is debase this woman, to try to belittle her to the point where she's deemed unimportant when it comes to her position, man. Like to reduce her to what her appearance is. I couldn't get past the James Brown wig. I didn't hear a word she said. To reduce her to that is a height of disrespect. Right? Here this woman is, a congresswoman of the United States of America. Everybody can't get that job, right? A woman who has been there and maintained that position over the course of a couple decades at least now. Everybody's not getting these jobs. Someone who writes legislation, someone who can speaks truth to power, basically. Like Maxine Waters, man, what we love her because she speaks truth to power and she does it without filter. And for Bill O'Reilly to come out and say, well, I couldn't get past a James Brown wig and think the shit was funny. Now, of course, we all know Bill O'Reilly to be sort of an asshole. We all know Bill O'Reilly to be sort of a bigot. That's not news there. But the way in which these folks are now comfortable, right? That's what a lot of this shit has boiled down to over the course of the last, I don't know, I want to say 4 or 5 months now, man. They're so comfortable saying slick shit, thinking they're going to get away with it, thinking that nobody's picking up on the things that they're saying. Dog whistling. Gaslighting and all and what have you, saying all of this fucked up shit, thinking nobody's going to check them on it. And truth be told, man, like he doesn't have any worries. Bill O'Reilly isn't about to get fired for the shit that he just said about Maxine Waters. Bill O'Reilly knows that a lot of black people are not even really watching him. Yeah, we're watching and we're talking about him now only because of what he said about Maxine Waters. Well, some of us, I'll say that. But he felt like he was in a position to belittle that woman because of her appearance, disregarding everything that she said in that speech on the House floor. Disregarding everything. And you know what's funny, man? Like the shit that's like really irking me right now is the fact that as we talk about April Ryan and as we talk about Maxine Waters, that there's a contingent of black men who, for whatever reasons they may have, think that this is some social justice warrior shit. Like, man, y'all some crybabies, man. Y'all always bringing shit up about race, nigga. Y'all always talking about these women, talking about sexism and racism and all this other shit. Man, y'all some whiners, man. Y'all some cuckolds, man. Y'all some cucks, man. Like, they'll adopt the exact same terminology that a lot of white folks who don't fuck with them would use. Special snowflakes. Social justice warriors. The woke crowd. Shea Butter Twitter, right? What they will do instead of standing up and being forthright and being it's fucked up that you would have to be an ally for black women, considering the fact that black women birth you motherfuckers, raise most of you motherfuckers, that you would have to think about being an ally instead of a liability for black women, right? And it made me think about this, man.
The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
Now, Bill O'Reilly got his ass on national fucking television and decided to disregard a black woman's giving a speech of consequence on the House floor to talk about her wearing a James Brown wig. Sean Spicer in a House in a White House press briefing, decided he was going to admonish a black woman for even having the audacity to ask him a legitimate fucking question. And yet there are a contingent of brothers. I'll put that in air quotes, brothers. There are a contingent of brothers who think that speaking to this, bringing attention to this, actually, and especially, don't be a dude talking about this. Like, what I'm doing right now for a lot of niggas is treason. Like, speaking on this issue right now and speaking on behalf of the sisters right now to a lot of these dumb motherfuckers is treason. Right? Or I'm a simp. I've heard that. I've heard that quite a few times. I'm a simp. But the interesting thing is, man, is that, like, these are the same niggas who decide that, you know, they want to be the head of the movement. They want to be the head of their own households. A lot of these motherfuckers ain't even paying bills, but want to be the head of their own households. Ain't paid a bill the first. Right? But it's interesting, man, to watch this dynamic play out where here are a couple white dudes in positions where they are publicly mocking and disrespecting black women, and you still have a contingent of niggas who's saying, like, yo, I don't know what the fuck the problem is. I don't get you niggas whatsoever. I don't understand you motherfuckers at all. I don't get you niggas. But the good thing about it is, like, well, I don't even want to say the good thing, because it's unfortunate that Maxine Waters, as brilliant as she is, has to defend herself for, well, partly because of the lack of competent black men to do the same for her, right? So here's Maxine Waters actually responding to the bullshit that Bill O'Reilly said about her on Fox and Friends. Check this out.
Now is Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat from California. And Congresswoman, it was that clip that was played earlier today on another cable news program on Fox, in which Bill O'Reilly had a really disparaging thing to say about you. He apologized, but then proceeded apparently to attack you again on this program tonight. And I wondered if you wanted to respond to that.
No, I'm not responding to him. First of all, let me thank Hillary Clinton for standing up for all women, and in particular for black women. And let me just say this. I'm a strong black woman, and I cannot be intimidated. I cannot be undermined. I cannot be thought to be afraid of Bill O'Reilly or anybody. And I'd like to say to women out there everywhere, don't allow these right-wing talking heads, these dishonorable people, to intimidate you or scare you. Be who you are, do what you do, and let us get on with discussing the real issues of this country. Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes have no credibility. They have been sued by women. They have had to pay millions of dollars in fines for harassment and other kinds of things. And so we know about that checkered past. And we also know that when a woman stands up and speaks truth to power, that there will be attempts to put her down. And so I'm not going to be put down. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm going to stay on the issues. And the issues are basically these. We have a president of the United States who does not deserve to be president. We have a president of the United States who's wrapped his arms around Putin and Russia and the Kremlin. And I believe that if we do credible investigations, particularly if we have independent investigations, that they will find that there was collusion. This president has come into this office. He's disrespected our allies across the world. He has tried to dismantle comprehensive health care for everybody under the Obamacare. This is a president who won't even show his taxes. And I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to distract. That's a tactic that they use. So when you talk about them, when you pin them down, when you're able to unveil all that they're doing, they'll try to shut you down. I am not going anywhere. I'm going to stay on message. I'm going to fight for the people of this country. I'm going to fight for comprehensive health care and I don't care about Bill O'Reilly or Ells or Trump or any of them. We have a responsibility as elected officials to do good public policy in the best interest of all the people. That's what I'm going to do.
All right. Now, yeah, man. Like, how we allow certain brothers, man, or how we allow people like Bill O'Reilly, people like Sean Spicer to execute that amount of disrespect unchallenged to a large degree, man. Especially when it comes to brothers, like, unchallenged to a large degree. Like, so many neutered niggas around here, dude. Real talk. And then on top of that, the funny thing about it is they'll talk about someone like myself as if, like, I'm the neutered one. Meanwhile, you can't defend your woman for shit. And have no desire to. But I'm the neutered one. Fuck out of here, man. Fuck out of here. So, yeah, man. Maxine Waters dealt with Bill O'Reilly. You had April Ryan dealing with Sean Spicer. And then to add insult to injury, man, Rachel Dolezal brings her stupid ass back out in the public sphere, right? Now, of course, you guys know how we feel about Rachel Dolezal here on the Span Report. Man, Rachel Dolezal, I believe she has gotten the ass hat of the week a couple times. Two or three times she's gotten the ass hat of the week. But you know, the funny thing about, I don't even know if you really call it funny, but the thing that's interesting about Rachel Dolezal is, like, when she comes back, like, we now have to have these discussions over again, all over again, whether we're discussing whether or not race is a social construct. Is now everybody want to get philosophical on race. It's a social construct. And, you know, and not only that, it's interesting, too, how those who are opponents, let me say that again, opponents of trans rights for trans women, for trans men, opponents would then somehow try to use Rachel Dolezal as a cudgel against that movement. Not only that, as someone who, they'll speak up on behalf of Rachel Dolezal as being transracial, as if this isn't like some new shit that she just fucking made up. But they'll use she uses a lot of the phraseology that a trans person would use for their cause for her own selfish reasons, right? Now, we've talked at length about Rachel Dolezal. We think that Rachel Dolezal here at the Span Report, Mr. Span, Rachel Dolezal is walking around in blackface. Real talk. Rachel Dolezal identifies blackness with struggle. Like, if you listen to Rachel Dolezal speak about why she identifies as black, it's only because she claims she got bad treatment while she was living with her parents as a kid. Right? She claims this. Now, we don't know whether or not Rachel Dolezal was really abused by her parents or not. Why? Because Rachel Dolezal has been known to be a liar. How do we know Rachel Dolezal was known to be a liar? Well, she just concocted this whole lie about her being black for like at least the last 10 years and rode that all the way to the presidency of the NAACP in Spokane, Washington. We know she lied about that. We also know that Rachel Dolezal was lying when she said that there were hate crimes being performed against her and her family. And it was the investigation of these hate crimes by the local media in Spokane, Washington, that came up with the revelation that, yo, this woman is white. As her parents came out and said, no, we her mama and daddy. That person down there, that she saying it's her daddy? No, that ain't him. She lying. That ain't him. So Rachel Dolezal comes out and she's writing a book talking about her life as a purported black woman, as she wears blackface, as she insists upon calling herself, identifying as black, while at the same time having the option to move the fuck away from it whenever she so chooses, when she didn't grow up with the black experience, so to speak. Not that there's a monolithic one, but there is a commonality between a lot of us. when she learned about blackness through going through her grandmother's Encyclopedia Britannica. National Geographic is where she first was introduced to black people and the African diaspora, as she likes to claim to be a part of now. Right? In her book, she just came out with a book, which is why she's going public now, like, which is why she's over in the news again. In her book, where she talks about, yo, she was too black for her black husband. Like, come on, bruh. Come on, bruh. She out here talking about she too black for her black husband. Hold on. Hold on. Where is it? God damn it. Where is it? And I can't find it. Oh, man. Oh, there it is. Here we go.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Oh, man, I'm tired. But, yeah, so she's claiming to be too black for her black husband. Meanwhile, her black husband may be looking at her like, yo, man, you are acting as a caricature of black women. Right? You are performing blackface right now. You are actually portraying yourself as someone that you are not. And not only that, man, like she did an interview, I believe it was with the Today Show, and she was asked point blank, like, yo, you know, you could be an advocate for black people. You could speak about the injustices that black people go through. You can, be on the front lines as far as the social justice, being a social justice warrior, so to speak. You can speak to the issues that black people confront on the day-to-day basis, and you don't have to take yourself as being a black person to do it. And she insisted upon saying, this is what I identify with. I'd rather be myself. I'd rather be the person who I feel that I am. Now, that's a whole lot of white folks out here across the country who are doing social justice work, who are advocating on behalf of black people, who are allies to the black community, and not only just the black community, but the Latino community, but the LGBTQ community. Whole lot of people out here being advocates and being allies to these issues, and yet and still not erasing the people in which they claim to be helping or claim to be affiliating themselves with. Right? They managed to get their hood passes without sacrificing or pretending to be somebody that they are not. And yet Rachel Dolezal does not see that. Well, that's giving her the benefit of the doubt. Rachel Dolezal knows exactly what the fuck she's doing. And what pisses me off, and I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, is that I'm sick and tired of you hapless Negroes who try to give her a pass on this. Right? Who try to give her a pass on this. As we talked about this over the course of the last couple of years, man, you know, the fabrication of Rachel Dolezal was out here doing more work than black women were doing out here for themselves when it comes to the community. Couldn't point to any of that work. But it sounded good because she was the president of the Spokane, Washington chapter of the NAACP. Sounded good. Right? So there was a lot of niggas who were out there saying that. Now, even to this day, there are still niggas like, man, y'all need to just let it go. Let her be black. Shit, fuck it. And then wonder why when sisters have an attitude about, or will confront you and say, like, yo, y'all don't defend us on a motherfucking thing. When sisters get shot, y'all talk about how it's about you, whether that be, you know, Eric Garner, whether that be Trayvon Martin, whether that be Oscar Grant, whether that be Amadou Diallo, whether that be Alton Sterling, whether that be Philando Castile, whether that be any number of brothers who were gunned down, man. Tamir Rice, Jonathan Crawford, like all of these names. And black women are the front lines making sure that everybody know that what happened to them was fucked up, it was wrong, and everybody should know about it, and the person who did it should be held accountable. Black women are doing that. And yet and still, some brothers have an issue not only with that, but then on top of that, when something happens to a sister, they have absolutely nothing to fucking say. And yet they were so quick to don that goddamn cape, put that fucking cape on for this woman who's pretending to be the woman that's all around them all day, every day. And you wonder why black women have an issue with you. You wonder why black women have an issue with you. These are some of the same niggas who never got over the sister that curved them back in 96, man. So they'll put up memes that say, like, a woman or a black woman will pass over a good nigga for a hood nigga, have his babies, and then think the good nigga is supposed to take care of these babies that she made with the hood nigga. A lot of hurt feelings by these broke, these dudes who never got over that girl who curved them when they was in high school, man. A lot of these cats, I know a lot of them. I see them all the time on Facebook and Twitter. Some of them I used to call friends. Well, Rachel Dolezal, getting back to her, because this is really what I was talking about, but Rachel Dolezal identifies blackness with struggle, wears blackness as a costume, can opt out whenever the fuck it is that she feels like it, and is giving a platform simply because of the, well, not only because of the oddity that she is, but watch whiteness work. This is only given legitimacy. This is only given credence because they think that, yo, white people can be black people too. It doesn't work the other way around, though. Doesn't work the other way around. Picture me walking into the office come Monday when I go back to work. Picture me walking into the station and I'm transracial. I am a white guy from Italy. Even though the Italians weren't necessarily considered white here in America for a portion of time. Can you imagine what that would be like, though? Can you imagine the looks on all these people's faces if I came to work saying that shit? They look at me like I was a goddamn fool. And yet and still, they give Rachel Dolezal interview after interview after interview to promote this bullshit that she claims of being transracial, trying to occupy a space that a black woman could very well occupy with authenticity and legitimacy. But yeah, man, whole lot of brothers going out of their way to don that cape for Rachel Dolezal and allowing her to get away with this bullshit, man. But that wasn't the only thing. That wasn't the only thing that happened this week, right? Now, of course, I think I spoke about this last Sunday. I think I spoke about this Sunday, man, when it comes to CNN and having people on, whether they be, you know, they'll be on two different spectrums of a particular argument, but also making it appear as if both arguments are of equal value when they really are not, right? So Angela Rye, of course, a lot of you people, you know, if you listen to me, you're probably familiar with Angela Rye. You're probably familiar with her work. You probably heard her on The Breakfast Club quite a few times. She's done numerous interviews on CNN. She's a contributor there. And CNN, again, giving a platform to someone who doesn't deserve it. They interviewed former Congressperson Joe Walsh of Illinois as he had an exchange with Angela Rye on Twitter. I'm going to play this video and then we're going to dissect it a little bit here. So check this out. As I find it, here we go.
Got a lot to get to. Angela Rye is with me, CNN political commentator and former executive director of the Congressional Black Caucus. Joe Walsh is here, former Republican congressman and conservative radio host. It is wonderful to have you two on. And listen, full disclosure, we booked you to talk about your you know, Twitter battle, which I promise we'll get to, but news has been made since. So, Joe, let me just begin with you. You heard Hillary Clinton's response. Do you agree? Do you think the original comments were either racist or sexist?
Hey, Brooke. No, I'm rolling my eyes right now because this is what the left always does. They always go to racism. Now, assume for a minute, Brooke, that Sean Spicer was a condescending jerk yesterday. And I think he probably was. But what does that have to do with race? And what does that have to do with sex? Brooke, Sean Spicer has been a condescending jerk to white male reporters a whole heck of a lot. And April's a great reporter, but doesn't she want to be treated equally? Why does this always have to do with race and sex? It's ridiculous.
And here's another thing, man. Here's a thing that I think is very important. White folks, some white folks, have a tendency to try to tell black people what racism is and what racism isn't. And they always wonder why do you guys always have to make things about race as if they don't fucking know? A lot of white folks, especially the bigoted ones, not the ones who get it, but the bigoted ones, they know what it is, but they're trying their damnedest to try to throw the rock and hide their hand, to not seem complicit, to not seem as if they are endorsing white supremacy or being a racist, because nobody's racist no more. Nobody's racist, man. There's so many different things that used to be racist now. I mean, back in the day, that no one, you know, none of these racists consider the shit racist anymore. Like, no, I'm just being the truth teller. I'm telling it like it is. But yeah, man.
How do you feel about it?
I don't know if Sean Spicer is a racist. I don't know if Donald Trump is a racist. I don't know if the fallout that April experienced with Omarosa, who's a White House staffer, has challenges because of racial animus. What I do know is that April Ryan was disrespected yesterday and it was unwarranted. What I do know is that Sean Spicer is not April Ryan's father, so he should not tell her what she should and should not do. What I do know is that I'm sick and tired of this White House, as I was sick and tired of the campaign treating people less than, whether they're different because they are black, or they're different because they cross the border, or they're different because they worship a different God, or their God is known by a different name. I am tired of difference being disrespected and mistreated by this White House.
Okay, so let me move on to
Brooke, Angela, Brooke, Angela.
I'm not talking to bigots.
Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
I'm not talking to bigots.
No. Angela had me. I agreed with the first 30 seconds where she went off there. I agreed with everything she said. Sean Spicer was a condescending jerk yesterday. But then Angela had to go to race. Why did it have anything to do with race?
Because it was, dude. Because it was. Right? And so now, you know, the interesting thing about this entire exchange, because this exchange goes on, it's a 10-minute long video, and I'm not going to play the entire thing. It's going to be on thespanreport.com, so you guys can go check it out afterwards. But the entire exchange took place because Joe Walsh hit up Angela Rye on Twitter to say that Barack Obama was given a pass and we lowered the bar for Barack Obama simply because he was black. And now he wants to he has absolutely no clue. He's clueless. He can't fathom the idea that what he said was racist. Can't fathom it. Despite how ridiculous that statement was. Despite how President Barack Obama, as a constitutional scholar, professor, former state senator, former United States senator, before becoming president of the United States, had his birth certificate, His place of birth questioned, had his credentials questioned, motherfuckers requesting his college transcripts. As president of the United States, meanwhile, we can't even get the current dude that occupies that White House to release his tax returns. How ironic is that? And so this thing with Angela Rye and Joe Walsh, like I said, it's about CNN's propensity to put on people who have absolutely no business being on television and giving them legitimacy and presenting it as if both sides have an equal value when they really do not. One side is full of shit. One side is full of bullshit. Not rooted in facts, not rooted in anything concrete. And yet is given the same level playing field with people of consequence, people who have actually accomplished things, real politicians, people who are real journalists, people who are real thinkers, people who are experts in their field. And then they pair them with some boob who doesn't know what the fuck it is they're talking about, but they do know that they have a partisan sort of party line talking point that they have to stick to. And CNN gives it to us every day. Every day. So the disrespect here, especially when it comes to Angela Rye, it wasn't just for Barack Obama, but it was for Angela Rye for having to be put on television to explain what bigotry is to a fucking bigot who knows exactly what the hell it is that he's doing. Who knows exactly what it is that he's doing. That is the bigotry in and of itself right there. So, yeah, man. Yeah. I'm going to need for every brother who is listening to my voice right now, man. I'm going to need for us to stop letting this sort of disrespect slide. I'm going to need for us as brothers to step in where assistance is needed when it comes to the sisters. They need us, man. And a lot of us have dropped the motherfucking ball on countless occasions. And rather than own up to it as black men, as men, period. Rather than own up to it and stand on our own too and say, yo, fuck, I was wrong. I'll point the blame and say, well, this is why they deserved it. Or, and it's crazy. It's a crazy concept to me that even as black women are out here fighting on behalf of us, that we can't even do the decency of fighting on the behalf of them. And so it makes what Malcolm said even more relevant today.
The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
It makes it all the more relevant today, man. Real talk. Real talk. But, yeah, man, that's all I got tonight. That's all I got tonight, man. Like I said, this is what has been on my mind over the course of the last couple of days. And I wanted to speak to it. I really did, man. So yeah, that's the show tonight. And it's late, man. It's 2:42 and I really got to get some sleep, man. I'm going out of town tomorrow. So yeah, it's a whole big thing. But before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spanner Report. Let your voice be heard. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show. Respond in kind. You can also hit me up at feedback@thespanreport.com for the email. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Hit me up with those emails. I'll read those emails here on the show and respond to you here on the show. Also, iTunes and Stitcher, 5-star reviews get read here on the show, man. So go ahead and give me those 5-star reviews, man, preferably. And like I said, it's a way to put on for the show. It's a way that you don't have to pay for. All of that good stuff, man. It helps the show grow, man, and pass on the word. If you're listening to me, man, and you like listening to me, go ahead and pass it on. Let somebody else know about this goodness, right? And also, man, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. If I hadn't said that already, I'm kind of sleepy. But yeah, man, that's going on, man. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. The podcast, the t-shirts, the polls, everything's available at thespanreport.com. So go there for all of your Span Report needs, man. But yeah, man, my voice is getting a little raspy. It's getting late. And I got to get out of here, fam. So until next time, peace.